So is there a path forward for partisan gerrymandering claims after all? The North Carolina courts say that there is.
Welcome to the Rudman Center podcast. Learn more about the Warren B. Rudman Center for Justice, Leadership, and Public Service at law.unh.edu/Rudman. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.
So what's the situation going on in North Carolina where the three-judge panel just made their ruling?
It just came out this week, but a three-judge panel in North Carolina found that the way in which state legislative districts were drawn in North Carolina violated the state constitution. Okay, it violated the Free Elections Clause. It also violated provisions of the North Carolina state constitution that are analogous to the Equal Protection Clause and First Amendment right of association clauses of the federal constitution. And so it's really significant in that, you know, just this past June, the Supreme Court basically shut the door to partisan gerrymandering claims under federal law. They construed the requirement of Article 3 of the federal constitution that there be a case or controversy for a federal claim to proceed. They construed the case or controversy requirement of Article 3 of the constitution as imposing an insuperable barrier to the bringing of partisan gerrymandering claims in federal court. But they made clear that state courts are independent. They're not governed by the case or controversy requirement of Article 3, and that state courts are entitled, if they wish, to construe their constitutions more liberally. And this is an example of that. This is a state court interpreting North Carolina law to say that partisan gerrymandering, you know, at its extreme levels, and the evidence was pretty profound in North Carolina that it was pretty extreme partisan gerrymandering, that can give rise to a claim. And, you know, the losing side in that case has already announced that they're not going to appeal. So to the extent that people were feeling somewhat hopeless after what the Supreme Court did in June in the Rucho case, Rucho versus Common Cause was the name of the Supreme Court case in June that said federal partisan gerrymandering claims are non-justiciable. This provides some hope that at least, you know, in some states, they may receive a more receptive hearing from state judiciaries.
Now, as part of this separation between what the state constitutions or courts versus the federal courts and in turn the federal constitution, is this part of a state's rights issue primarily, or is this just, they're just unrelated?
Well, it is an aspect of our federalism, right? And that's the term we use to discuss the division of power between the federal government and the states. You know, under our system, state courts have independent sovereign power. Now, there are many ways in which states are, you know, under the thumb, if you will, of the federal constitution. So there are lots of things that states can't do when the federal law does not permit. But this is an area, the question of the jurisdiction of state courts, this is an area that is preserved as a matter of state autonomy. Again, Article 3 of the Constitution confers judicial power on federal courts to hear nine types of cases or controversies. And that phrase, case or controversy, has been interpreted to mean that there are certain requirements before a case can be heard by a federal court. One of those requirements is that the case not raise a political question. All right. Mm-hmm. And so in June, the Supreme Court decided that partisan gerrymandering claims race political questions that cannot be decided by federal courts. However, state courts don't have to abide by the federal case or controversy requirement. And indeed, a lot of state courts do things that federal courts could never do, for advisory opinions, for example. Lots of states have provisions in their law where state courts will answer questions from the state legislature about the constitutionality of proposed legislation, or will answer questions from federal courts who sometimes certify questions over and say, what is state law on this? A federal court could never do that. State courts can.
I was kind of surprised at the volume of pages in this room. It was 357 pages. I mean, what were these guys doing in North Carolina?
I'll be honest. I've only flipped through it at that point. You know, there were a number of different theories, though. I mean, the problem with these cases, the problem that was identified in the federal cases, is coming up with a judicially administrable standard that would allow a court to decide this much partisanship in the drawing of district lines is okay, but anything more than that is not. And, you know, a bunch of lower federal courts had adopted different ways of determining where that line is. basically what the Supreme Court did. This is why they said it raises a political question. They said none of those tests we believe provide judicially manageable standards. What it looks like when courts decide these claims is that they're deciding political questions, not legal questions. These sorts of decisions, okay, require an intense analysis of data. So, you know, there's lots of stuff in there about, you know, populations and voting patterns and residential patterns and actions that the legislature took following the 2010 census. Evidence about, I mean, in the last election in 2018, more votes were cast for Democrats, but the legislature was still 54% Republican. You know, why that is, what was the process? There was a political operative who was hired by the legislature to enable this. This is a guy who recently passed away, and actually, stuff discovered after his death led to controversy in another context in the census case that was at the Supreme Court in June. So in any event, there's a lot of detail, a lot of weeds to get into in deciding these claims. And I say all that with the caveat that I've taken just a superficial glance at it at this point.
Yeah. Do you expect this to... is this basically kind of the first step post the Supreme Court decision?
Yeah. I mean, the Supreme Court left open this possibility that state courts could adjudicate partisan gerrymandering claims under state law. It also left open the possibility of bipartisan or nonpartisan redistricting commissions, where the legislature, instead of drawing lines itself following the census, would appoint a commission, a bipartisan/nonpartisan commission, to do the work. A few years ago, the constitutionality of states authorizing independent redistricting commissions went to the Supreme Court because there was a challenge arguing that it has to be the state legislature, that they can't delegate that authority. In a 5-4 decision with Justice Kennedy in the majority, the Supreme Court did decide that independent redistricting commissions are okay, are constitutional. Now we'll see. Justice Kennedy's gone. He's been replaced, of course, by Justice Kavanaugh. We'll see, you know, if the more conservative elements of the court have an appetite for revisiting that precedent. But for now, at least, that's another path forward for those who believe that, you know, excessive partisan gerrymandering is a problem. In this state, we recently passed a bill creating a redistricting commission. It actually passed unanimously out of the Senate with bipartisan support, but the governor vetoed it. And we'll see now in the coming days whether they are able to override that veto. That's a pretty tough task. But in any event, there continues to be action. That's the point. There continues to be action about partisan gerrymandering in the state, in various states around the country.
And I was kind of surprised before we started that the Republicans on this case in North Carolina are done. They're not going to take this further.
They could appeal to the North Carolina Supreme Court. I don't like to phrase it in this way, but every newspaper article about this points out that the North Carolina Supreme Court is currently made up of 6 Democrats and 1 Republican.
So is it worth it?
I mean, I come from the judiciary, and I don't buy that, you know, judges are just political actors in robes. But the fact is that Democrats are more open to embracing a broader judicial role in these types of cases. So I think they must think that the writing is on the wall under state law there. And they really don't have a basis to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, because the U.S. Supreme Court's not going to review a state court's determination about the meaning of state law unless the claim is that that interpretation violates the federal constitution or federal law in some way. And I gather after the Rucho case that Republicans in North Carolina must be satisfied that they really don't have a federal basis for trying to get the U.S. Supreme Court involved in this.
Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.